let's talk about the Consumer Review Freedom Act, which appears a more friendly to our panelists, I think, piece of legislation that is also gaining traction in Washington. Can you tell us the status of it, Eric, and also what it is?
Yeah, sure. So it's kind of hard to even imagine, but there are some businesses that have tried to stop their consumers from reviewing them online. They've done things like, say, in their user agreement or their service contract, you may not talk about us online. Or they've done things like create fines where they say, if you talk about us online, we will fine you. And if you don't pay the fine, we will ruin your credit. Or they've done things like say, if you ever write a review, we own that review and we can go and control the review and remove it from the internet if we don't like it. All of these things are such a gross abuse of the customer vendor dynamic that it's hard to believe people do it. And yet we're seeing over and over again, businesses think that they've got some clever way of trying to manage their online reputation and game the system somehow so that they look better to their prospective customers. So Congress has proposed banning the practice of stopping your consumers from writing about you online. The law is called the Consumer Review Freedom Act. It was introduced in both the House and Senate. In December, the Senate passed a version. So the action has now moved to the House, where we're hoping that the House will take up this bill and move it forward, get it passed as well, and send it over to the president for signature. There's not really been any organized opposition against the law. I think everyone gets the idea that it's just ridiculous for businesses to try and stop their customers from talking about each other. So really, the only question is whether Congress can pass a slam dunk law, and it's only a sign of how difficult it is to get things through Congress that something like this hasn't passed yet.
Declan, do you think that it's the case that this is a good area for Congress to legislate in, or should businesses just be able to hoist themselves on their own petard if you're going to pursue the kinds of draconian practices that Eric described? You're not going to have customers very long, unless, I suppose, you're in an area where you're sort of the only game in town for whatever product or service you're providing. What's your take on this?
Well, I'm glad I finally get to disagree with Eric on something. I do it advisedly. Eric is a formidable opponent, but he's wrong on this. I mean, you just put your finger on it, which is that if businesses do stupid things like this, they'll actually lose customers even without our friends in Congress, who, as we know from our discussions about encryption and anonymity, are always on our side helping them out. I tend to be libertarian on this point. I think adding such language to a terms of use agreement or contract would be stupid, but let's let businesses be stupid and pay the price. We don't have to have a nanny state established for this. Let's say that a dentist is really, really good. He only takes the most difficult cases. And 10% of cases, there are some screw-ups, and then people post all these nasty reviews saying, oh, this is the worst dentist ever. In fact, where again, the facts are he's very good at top of his profession. And then the dentist hires another employee and has to respond to these reviews and then has to raise rates for this. And then he says, screw this. I'm going to put something in my contract saying no reviews. I'm going to cut my prices by 10%. Sorry, new employee. This is something that where consumers are actually better off, but they'll be prohibited by this law. I mean, maybe this is a contrived hypothetical, but law professors would know nothing about that. The point is that there's no need for Congress to regulate. And I don't even know where, if we're talking about restricting contracts in just a local area that's not necessarily interstate commerce, I'm not even sure where Congress would have the constitutional authority properly defined to enact such a law.
Eric, what do you think about the authority line of argument?
I'm still reeling from the fact that Declan and I don't agree on something today. So I don't know how that happened. Wow. That was from left field.
It makes the discussion more interesting, but you're wrong.
No, I'm glad that we have something to spar about, but I'm a little surprised about this one.
Yeah.
If I can just briefly introduce another libertarian perspective, the libertarian perspective could also be that in order for consumers to make smart choices in the marketplace, they have to have robust sources of information. And so a business that tries to distort the flow of information is actually distorting the overall efficiency of the marketplace. So to me, actually, this law is really very squarely designed advance a market-based economy and a libertarian perspective of letting the marketplace sort the problems out. Sometimes libertarians don't all agree with each other, but I'm a little surprised here to hear a libertarian critique of this that is at its core ultimately suggesting that it's okay for people to distort the information in the marketplace. That doesn't make any sense to me. As for Congress's authority to enact this, because of the fact that we are talking about information that informs the marketplace, it actually seems quite simple that this would fall squarely and unambiguously under Congress's Commerce Clause authority.
Right.
Right.
And yeah, I think I'm on Eric's side with this one. Mm-hmm. I think that my advanced contracting professor would have a field day with this. I'm definitely going to bring it up later this week. But my fear is that, I'm reading through Eric's letter here, and it looks like there already was precedent to support these kind of really ridiculous clauses. My fear is that consumers are already not reading through their contracts. Boilerplate contracts are already so common that I see this becoming commonplace. If this is allowed, then it's so easy to just add it into your form, and then suddenly you're not allowed to go onto Yelp. So I don't know. This sounds really, really nefarious.
Eric, I know you've...
Emery, if I can just opine upon that. My take is that the law is pretty clear that businesses can't do this based on contract law and unfair competition law and some other legal doctrines. The congressional action would just move everything up and make it cleaner to tell businesses not to do it. I think we're going to reach that result even if Congress does nothing. It just will take us a bunch of extra years to get there, and there'll be a bunch of problems in the interim.
Gotcha.
That was my question. You've followed these cases closely when people have challenged these kinds of restrictions. And I'm wondering how much success they've had on balance in the laws as they exist today, whether you're arguing that that particular clause is unconscionable or it's some sort of unfair competition, et cetera, to insert language like that in your contract.
This is a really good example of why sometimes it is better to have legislation than to let things evolve through the common law, where the courts build a set of legal precedents that create a clearer line eventually. Because we haven't had that many cases these types of, quote, gag clauses in court. And to the extent that we've had them, we haven't had really that many clean rulings that help us understand exactly where the legal line is. Most courts have been pretty skeptical about the clauses, and in some cases that's led to favorable outcomes for the consumers who want to write their perspectives. But we don't even have, I think, the definitive legal precedent in court, and it could take us years until we get that. So that's, again, an advantage, I think, of the statute. We just get to the inevitable result. We just get there cleaner and faster. The only caveat I'll add, there was a case that I've been using as a good example of how difficult this issue is, where online vacation rental or vacation rental you could do online, landlord put in place a clause saying you couldn't review this rental. And at least two of his customers violated that contract provision. So the landlord sued the short-term tenants for having reviewed in contravention of the clause. And the court said that the reviews were not defamatory, so it ended the defamation claim, but it held open for further scrutiny the breach of contract claim. The court said, I see a contract. The tenant said they weren't going to review it. They reviewed it. therefore, I need to take a closer look at this. And so to me, those are the kinds of rulings that just make me scratch my head and wonder why we wouldn't want to just have a clean, decisive rule. Because in the end, I think that the landlord is going to lose, but we spend so much more time adjudicating it at substantial cost.
All right, Declan, are you persuaded that perhaps this particular piece of legislation just sort of echoes the law as it already stands and will help clean it up a bit?
Well, unlike Eric, I trust the courts to get this right more than I trust Congress, because, you know, by the time the pure law professor version makes its way through committees and a conference committee, you're going to have who knows what added to it. The courts are... look at something in detail and aren't subject to the same kind of special interest lobbying and log rolling that you have in Congress. So I'll trust them. I'm also not sure that it's the libertarian impulse is to regulate a dentist in Hawaii who only treats patients in Hawaii, somehow call that interstate commerce and start banning types of contracts that this poor dentist can offer. But I admit that most courts would agree with Eric's definition of what's allowed under the Interstate Commerce Clause here. I agree with him on what's likely to stand. I disagree with him on what's more libertarian.
All right. Well,
I'm sorry. I just have to point out that somehow Declan maneuvered me into being a pro-Congress supporter here. I don't know how you did that. That is about as wacky as it could be. I will tell you that I've read the bill. I've read what happened in the Senate. I think that the amendments from the first draft to the Senate approved draft were actually an improvement. So I actually think this is a good bill, and I would say that quite rarely.